Here again, and next thing up on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance is the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alrighty, item number four, discussion, action, approval of the agenda for April 16th. Any changes? Mark?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mark Joseph Phillips, a Story County resident. This is discussion before possible action, approval of today's agenda for April 16, 2013. On the consent agenda, matters which are considered routine, but I sure would like to speak to item number 10, which is the approval of appointing next year's outside auditor for fiscal year ending the 30th of June, 2013. That's item number 10.
Move that one off, okay. We can do that. Judy, come on up.
Judy Cohen, Story County business owner, Story County resident, Story County property owner, and Story County taxpayer. I too, even though Mark was first, would like to bring up the point on 10 about the external auditors, that I would like to see the scope of the work and to see competitive bids for the audit, because apparently they've been the external auditors for the county for many years, and a new approach, a new vision is always welcome.
Okay, same item. Any other changes? Okay. Motion to approve then with the...
I move that we approve moving item number 10 to the...
Okay, and approval of the agenda then with that change?
Yes.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number 5, approval of minutes for March 19th. Any changes? Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's, for the record, Commissioner McBride is ill today, so he won't be with us. Any changes on the minutes for March 19th? Anyone? That looks good.
I move that the minutes for March 19th be approved.
Okay. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, public comment. How many do we have here for public comment? Raise your hand so I can get a head count. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's not so bad then. Okay, who wants to come up first?
Public comment.
Public comment, come on up. Anyone?
I'm David Toll. I live in Gold Hill, and I want to speak just very briefly in favor of the job performance of our sheriff as it relates to the budget that's been under discussion. Since taking office, he's restored his office to a high level of public trust and approval while reducing spending by $1 million since fiscal year 09. And I think this is a major achievement. He submitted a budget that he believes will allow his office to continue operating at a satisfactory level. It's been proposed to cut this budget by a considerable amount, thus reducing his ability to provide satisfactory protection for the public which leads in turn to the erosion of public trust and confidence again. And that's a false saving and not a good outcome. I've heard some mention of zero-based budgeting. But zero-based budgeting is hard to achieve when you're responsible for keeping order among human beings. We're not an altogether reliable species. And sometimes we require overtime by the peacekeepers. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Mark? Let's see, Dale, come on up.
That's early. Yes, my name is Dale Beach, and I live in the county. I'm glad to see our senator here. Maybe he can help cut our costs. I've got a letter I give the district attorney that's addressed to Bill Maddox and county management, public document request. Bill, please provide me any and all documents and notes back to Lynn, our junior commissioner, Lance Gilman, had two separate houses of prostitution document-wise. Walk me through each step of the way to him now having the same two cat houses and only paying to pay one license for both houses of ill repute. I request of you each document regarding the silent partner and the rumored 10% of 30 for 30 years to have been agreed on in Gilman needed to make $1 million loan. I prefer facts in place of rumors for my new website and my continuing effort to improve county government. P.S. to Bill, please try and cut your budget down by the 20% near mark the savings to the Mark Twain Estate Improvement Project Fund. Okay, now, the meat and potatoes. Everybody knows that I'm the CEO of the Committee to Improve County Government, and I'm glad we've got some state people here because I wish we could mimic what the state does. Our family health plan is now costing $19,800 and change per family. Me and my lovely wife are just chipping in to 77 years old, and I pay $5,400 a year for her and I. And PERS, we pay the full cost for every employee. The state pays one half, and the state employee pays the other half. That's something maybe our senator could help us with. I'm going to get into a website and bulk mailers, starting at about 100 per month and go up from there. And I'm really concerned about our lobby costs. I think maybe our senator could help us there too. It looks like we're paying everybody that is anybody in our county lobby fees. And Walker and Associates is the cheapest one we've got, and they're the only ones that's a professional lobbyist. I lobby every day of my life, and nobody pays me. So, our county, you set yourself up through the fire department with Douglas, Lyon, and Carson City. Each one of those three counties are between 50 and 70,000 people. Story County with just 4,000 people, we should be rating ourselves with Monroe, Pershing, Humboldt, and Lander. Some of those people have zero cost for a fire department. They're totally volunteer from every top to bottom. And here we're paying one of our biggest budgets is the fire department. And it wasn't that way when I got here, and I'd like to go back to where it was. I like cheap operation. I need a police force, sheriff's department, 10 times worse than I need a fire department. And I would feel I'd rest better at night if I had a deputy across the street in the fire department that isn't a fire department no more.
Yeah.
Okay, 2.5%. Are you guys? Oh, I just went out of time. I'm sorry. Welcome.
Why don't you? Why don't you submit us all that in writing so we can go over that?
Oh, all my stuff? I will, but I can put it on the website and give you my web address.
Well, however you'd like to do it, but just if you could get it up to us.
Are you going
to
take emails now at your website?
Yes, I am. To make it a, what they call it, Twitter and Facebook and some of that kind of stuff. And you put those pictures on the wire and for a lot of years. I get to choose what goes on and what don't.
I had the Twitters once, and I...
I'm a supreme commander.
You know, if I could make an observation in regards to your statement about the fire department, a number of years ago when I was the district attorney of Carson City, and at that time Carson City was about 30,000 people, we looked at possibly going back to a volunteer fire department. The problem with that is that if we did that, and we did the calculations at the time, the insurance company would raise each individual person's insurance on their house or fire insurance high enough that when you started calculating that across the county, it cost the citizens of Carson City less money for us to have a paid fire department than it did if we went back to a volunteer one. So,
okay, Mr. District Attorney, I asked Lance Gillen before he got into office if he would go and do some research on the four different counties I talked about. They're doing something cheaper, a whole lot cheaper. That's Mineral, Pershing, Humboldt, and Lander. Just find out, okay? I can find out what they're doing. I don't know about this insurance, you know. I write a check every year. Fire insurance.
And it would be a lot more if we had a volunteer fire department.
You're telling me this, but...
Well, that's the study we did, and this is 30 years ago.
Yeah, okay, let's roll again to today. I know when using your prime, and I was in my prime 30 years ago, I used to be, drunk and whatnot. I didn't care about nothing. But now I do, and money matters, and I just think that we've got 19 people on police department, 31 on fire department, and I don't need a fire department. I'm never going to dial 911. If my wife can't get me to the Tahoe Carson Hospital or my son can, then I'm dead. If I die tomorrow, I've got a nice long life. So that doesn't bother me. But it bothers me to throw this money, just keep dumping it in. And I like the fire guys. I haven't ever met one I didn't like. I like the fire chief. I just don't want to spend the money on it.
Just for the record, I'm still in my prime.
You are all fine. Okay. Anyway. All right. Any more?
Come on up. Mrs. Judy?
Judy Cohen. Marissa's already on record. I'd like to second what David said about the Sheriff's Department. And my opinion on the fire department, the truth is, it's an absolute, in my opinion, necessity. But I agree with Dale in that we should try to run it the most efficient way possible at the least cost possible. That's what I agree upon. These buildings are all too close together, and we do need it, Dale. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people here other than just...
Oh, yes, I understand. You need your fire department. Joe Kirby,
you're free. Okay, but the point is we get direct services from the direct labor on the sheriff's department and the fire department. So I think that those are very valuable services, and most of that is direct labor that affects us directly.
Okay.
And then number two, I'm stating this publicly, I sent the three commissioners and Pat Whitten and Hugh Gallagher an email because I was still away out of the country for the April the 2nd budget. And what I'm asking is, I plan, my store is closed because the other person didn't come to work today, and I'm sacrificing my afternoon business to come here and to state my opinions. I feel that we should follow proper decorum here, no more rudeness. I've been a recipient myself, and I think that everyone's entitled to be heard. So I would ask that the audience, the residents and whomever, as well as the other people in the county government, treat each one with respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, moving right along then.
Mark, come on up.
Mark Joseph Phillips. Item number six, public comment. I too felt obligated to come here today in public comment and speak to the budget of the sheriff's office. I've definitely been disturbed at the drastic reduction in the sheriff's department's budget. And let's just keep out of any reason that might have happened, and let's figure out a way to to get the budget back up to a reasonable amount before the final budget is submitted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I have a couple of things in a second.
All right, come on up, Judy.
Judy Cohen.
I'll give you part of that 3.5 minutes that Dale Beach owes me on public comment.
Okay, well, he can have the rest. This is quick. I noticed for the benefits for the county employees, for the dependents, that they've taken the insurance up to 26 years old. I only read that for the child or children dependents. I find that in excess of age, because with the U.S. income tax, if you have a full-time student at a university, it's up to 23 that they're tax deductible. That's what I know. I saw that in the minutes. I don't know if you passed it or not. That's my comment. I think that's an excess paying for 26-year-olds for their insurance.
I can answer that.
Good.
And I don't mean this facetiously or rudely. You know me well enough that I'd never do that to you. Tell your United States Senator, your United States Congressman, that is the direct result of Obamacare. There is the legal definition of dependence at age 26 and strict local governments and employers.
So you have no choice?
Correct.
Okay, I didn't know that, so I stand corrected. And is it the same and then for income tax for full-time students?
I don't know that one. I just know it. I doubt it because it was Affordable Health Care Act.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'm not up to date on that. Okay, now I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. All righty. We're up to consent agenda. We have one change on there. We're going to talk about item 10 separately. And motion to approve on the...
Move to approve the exception.
Huh?
So I'll move to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 10, which is moved.
Correct. All right, and I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can we hear item 10 after Dr. Johnson?
Yes, yes. I'm going to get them up here. I'm going to put off... staff and committee here for a few minutes. We'll get Dr. Johnson up and Senator Washington. Dr. Mark Johnson, item number 14, President UNR. Come on up. How are you today, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Great.
I'm Mark Johnson, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. I appreciate the time you're spending with me today. I have been going to all the county commissions and visiting each of the counties, visiting county extension offices, and speaking with stakeholders that work with us in the delivery of cooperative extension. I've come to you today to talk about one administrative change, and I want to have a conversation with you about your concerns, if you have any concerns about this change. I would like to lay some context, however. Sounds as though from the discussion so far that this county has been hit with budget problems, just as the university has been hit with budget problems. Over the last 4 years, we've lost more than a third of our budget, which is $75 million a year, and we've been trimming back across the entire university, cutting out some programs altogether. At the same time, though, I'd like to explain to you how the university wants to be even more involved with Story County and the rest of the state. We are the land-grant university of the state of Nevada, and therefore we have responsibilities not only for teaching students. We have 38 students on campus today from Story County. We do research, both basic and applied research, and it's our responsibility to take the results of research back out to the communities and answer problems and questions that the community has. And we do that through many organizations, one of which you jointly support with Cooperative Extension. We also serve this county with our small business development centers. We have an office in Carson, we have an office in Reno, and your citizens are able to, free of charge, go get some help with business plans, marketing plans, loan documents, things of that nature to help your local citizens develop their businesses. When we had to do budget cutting, we cut the Small Business Development Center right down to the one-to-one match that's required in order for the university to host the Small Business Administration's Small Business Development Centers on, in this state. And when we did that, we took the, we kept the identity of each of these programs, but we brought several programs together in order to maintain a critical mass of business experts of service to the community. So we brought together Small Business Development, our Center for Regional Studies, Economic Development Center, and our Nevada Bureau of Business and Economics, which does forecasting. Brought all those together under one leadership so that we could maintain the critical mass of expertise to provide service to the communities. We also had to cut out quite a bit of budget from the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology, which is of service to the prospectors in the state. But when we did so, even though we had to cut back on personnel, we combined the Bureau with the Seismological Laboratory, which measures earthquakes and provides safety training, and we combined all that into our Department of Geological Sciences and Engineering again, so that we could maintain the identity of the Bureau, but bring all of our geologists together to keep that critical mass so that we could provide that service to the state. In terms of our medical school, we've actually expanded outreach. There are two individuals from Story County working this month on online EMT training that is offered through the medical school. So we have actually, using electronic technologies, made even more expertise available to this county. So in general, we work together on NNBA, EDON, and the like. We are reaching out more than we ever have before to support economic development, which Story County participates with us. We want this university to expand outreach from all of our colleges to serve the needs of the state. Our proposal that we're discussing with you today is to take Cooperative Extension, leave it alone as an identifiable organization, keep its budget separate, but we want to have a single leader for Cooperative Extension and our College of Agriculture and our Agricultural Experiment Station. The purpose for doing this won't save any money, won't cost any money. The whole purpose is to coordinate the expertise that we have on campus so that we can combine teaching, research, and outreach to the community to have better communication, recognize campus-wide expertise to solve problems that are identified by Joanne Skelly in the county needs assessment, and get those answers to you. So some people have concern about combining this leadership, and we think we can actually have better coordination and bring the benefits of a critical mass expertise more readily to your county. But I'd like to hear your concerns.
Comments, questions, or anyone? I believe you are aware of the response that you received from NACO.
Yes, I am.
Regarding it. So I think that that is probably going to be, our position will be consistent with theirs. Regarding that, Pat, any?
No, I know Joanne is here as well, and she may wish to speak. You know, I was wonderful that Dr. Johnson's taking time to come up.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Introduce himself and show that you and our.
Did you have anything, Joanne, that you'd like to add? So I think that's probably where we stand on the issue at this point.
Okay, there are others who have taken other positions, some of the information that NACO got was that you were going to lose budget and lose personnel, which really aren't going to happen. The Farm Bureau and the cattlemen have supported this move, but I appreciate your position.
And I'd actually request a continuance on this. I don't have enough information to really make a decision for you today. As you suggest, there have been a variety of positions taken on this particular issue, and I'd like to continue the issue so that I can look into it further personally.
Thank you.
And certainly, from one perspective, it has a great appeal, and I respect greatly the efforts coming from the university and all the support for our community. So, I would ask for a continuance, Mr. Chairman.
Motion to continue then to what commission meeting?
I would motion to continue to the next commission meeting. That'll give us about 2 weeks of research time.
All right.
And if we find that we need to go beyond that, perhaps we could notify Dr. Johnson.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd like to give it a fair thought and a fair hearing.
All right. And I think that's a reasonable.
So I would make a motion to continue the item to the next commission meeting.
Joanne?
Dr. Johnson, when do you need your decision to be made on this issue? I'm not aware of your deadline.
Well, I have to say many counties have not taken action at all. They've just remained neutral on it. They have given me their concerns that they had. Our Extension Advisory Committee, which does oppose this action, has asked each of the county extension county commissions to actually vote against this in a resolution. We're not asking for a resolution necessarily. I come here for the conversation to hear what the concerns are. Many of the county commissions have said, well, I don't think we vote on how the university manages its affairs, but we do have concerns. We don't want you to cut the budget anymore. We don't want you to take people out of our county. And we say, fine, we're not going to cut the budget more than has already been identified, and this is not to drag people out of Story County and take them down to the university. So we've been trying to, my purpose for being here is to have this conversation rather than seek a vote necessarily, but that's your prerogative.
Okay. Well, we have a motion on the floor, and I believe that it's a reasonable one. And I would have to agree with Commissioner Gilman that we haven't really had a chance to sit down and go over this thing and look at the real nitty-gritty of it. So I will second that, and all in favor then?
Aye.
Aye. So we're going to continue that
okay.
for our next commission meeting for any further decisions, and until we've had a chance to look at this a little bit further.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your time, and I hope you will look at the University of Nevada, Reno, as your university.
Well,
keep sending us students and
thank
asking us questions.
We appreciate everything you do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Item number 15, update from Maurice Washington, NNDA. Maurice, come on up here. Mr. Senator, how are you today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the commissioners. I have to get used to the fact that I have termed out from my senatorial obligations and duties, and some have asked me if I have missed this past session, and I have reluctantly said that I am enjoying my position now, and I say reluctantly because when I go to the building, I see new young people, newcomers, and I think to myself, man, oh man, I am so glad to be out of there now. So, with that said, it is a great honor and a great privilege to stand before you this day to at least give you an update of our activities. We're very happy to announce that Mr. Gilman, Commissioner Gilman, is now one of the board members, and we've enjoyed his presence and his input in the last couple of board meetings. And we have our board meeting coming up tomorrow. We appreciate working with Mr. Witten and keeping us abreast of the activities of the commission and their desires. We enjoy a very strong relationship with EDON, our counterpart that's in Washoe County that represents part of Story County down in Trek. We've worked out an agreement that I think has worked very well between our business development, our VP of Business Development, Danny Campos, and Stan Thomas, along with NV Energy. They've been very aggressive in going out to presenting the case of Northern Nevada to site selectors, to trade shows, to anyone that would listen. We've got an aggressive mailing campaign, email campaign that's going forth, and we've done quite well. During these hard economic times, we've seen growth tremendously in our counties. NMDA represents five counties besides Story County, and we've initiated, I think under the leadership and the direction and request of Mr. Witten, managers meetings, that we kind of give the managers an update of the activities in our particular counties that we represent. I'm here today just to kind of give you a brief synopsis. We've, in the last year, from the last fiscal year, from 7/12 to 6/30/13 in Story County, we've had at least five closures, all the way from Toys R Us to Allstate Cans. We've had several site visits in the last several months. In fact, we've had five site visits in Story County, which we're pretty excited about. We've had the opportunity to work with you on the show Trek. We've had some interest in regards to industry sector that we didn't look at, or we should have been looking at, which we have a manufacturer in Trek right now, and that's the firearm industry, because of the new gun legislation that's moving forward on the national level. We've had a couple of inquiries in our office about relocating in the area, and we've always suggested that Trek be the place to go. We've had some agricultural interests as well. We've shown those locations, or shown them the location in Trek. We have a couple expansion opportunities that are taking place, Toys R Us, PCC Industries, and Scruger Rubber. Edon is representing them before GOAD in their expansion opportunities. We also have been one of two RDAs that have actually finally landed a client with a Catalyst Fund, which has been an ongoing process. Crytek was awarded $250,000 out of the Catalyst Fund, and then the other selection was down south. As you can see by just a brief report, we've been very active in the area. We've gained a new philosophy, and if you haven't heard our new slogan, improve the state of your business, it's derived out of the fact that we're not asking companies to actually pull up roots and relocate to Northern Nevada. What we're saying is we want you to expand to Northern Nevada. And the reason why we say that is because most of the companies we're finding out, especially during these economic times, it's hard for them to actually pull up roots. If they own the building, they can't find somebody to buy it. If they're in a long-term lease, it's kind of hard to get out of that lease. So our philosophy has been to, why don't you look at Nevada and expand your operations, because it's all about sales. So we can show you how you can increase your sales in a business-friendly atmosphere. We think we can make you successful, and if you like what you see, eventually the percentages will change from 60-40 or 20 or 80-20 to where you're actually wholly moving into our area. So we've aggressively begun a new campaign with GOAD called the California Campaign. We're actually working with Edon, NV Energy, to not only solicit our message to them as far as expanding into Northern Nevada. GOAD has awarded us a sum of $25,000, and I think Edon was awarded $30,000, so we're putting that together to aggressively put together a marketing campaign to get our message out. With that, Mr. Chair, I think I won't bore you or waste your time any longer. I know how it is to sit in those seats and hear somebody ramble and babble on, so I will close my mouth and sit down.
Anyone have any questions for Maurice?
Nice to see you, Maurice. Thanks for
having me. Nice to see you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, backing up a little bit here, get to item number 10, I believe, for possible action to appointing firm David Pringle, CPA. Have some discussion or comments on that from anyone?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's just a Phillips, Story County resident. Discussion before the possible action of appointing the firm of David Pringle, CPA, as the outside auditors for the Story County audited statements for the year ended, or year ending June 30th, 2013. My research shows that county commissioners don't need to accept bids on choosing an auditor, and my research also shows no real time limit on how many years the same auditor can be used, but in light of recent conversations about problems with reports that need to be published and budgets that haven't been filed with taxation, these are things that should have come up in the last audit. So those are a few of my concerns about the current auditor going into the next audit. Also, one thing in the last audit that caught my eye that hasn't been resolved is funds that are in excess of the amount insured by the FDIC. I believe FDI insures funds up to $250,000, and we have funds that are in excess of that. Those are my concerns today. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Comments?
Mr. Chairman, Hugh Gallier, Story County Comptroller. In my 40-plus years of doing this, I've been on both sides of this fence where bids have gone out automatically for CPA firms and where CPA firms or outside auditors have continued until either there was a need or an explanation that they should be or are replaced. A good example is Arthur Anderson, who ceased to exist because of certain improprieties they have done that created some publicly traded companies, cost people a lot of money. They did it through greed and internal stuff, and it was kind of an awful mess. In most of the places that I've been, we have continued with the outside audit position until either they became too costly or there was a cost effect because of a footnote or something within that they either missed or they included that was not right. In my estimation, this is not the case with Fremont CPAs. They have been here for as long as I've been here, which is 5 years, but I'm pretty sure they've been here longer than that. I think they do an excellent job. I think they know the stature of this county, they know the health of this county. And really all they're reporting on is the health of this county, not the compliance factor that goes with each and every quarterly document, monthly document, whether it's to the Department of Taxation, whether it's the Census Bureau, whether it's that. It's the health of the numbers that is within the county, and I think they report that very well. One thing to consider if you're going to put this out to bid, or two, even nominate for another one, is there's going to be increased costs because there's a cost to familiarize a new CPA firm or a new outside audit agency with the way we do business, and there will be an increased cost for staff to go ahead and look at the documents that Primo does pretty much an excellent job of now. When they come in, they have a very good routine. They're out of here in a very, very efficient manner. And recently, the documents or the financial statements have been fairly presented and on time. So it is my recommendation, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, that we retain David Pringle, CPA, for the next fiscal year.
Part of two questions, Staff. One is, I can't factually state this, but I seem to recall, we're obligated either under statute or taxation governances that tells us we have to designate our independent auditor by a certain point in time.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
That was the 31st of March.
So we'll pass that. Two is, in many cases, it's been my experience, when we consider multiple options out there, like in the case of engineer, you cannot go out to bid. You can do RFQs based on qualifications. Are you aware of any restrictions on CPAs? I mean, can they actually bid value, or is it just simply a qualification-to-qualification comparison?
There can be, you know, they can submit a something that will be not in excess of, but who knows, because they're not, if they get into something that requires more of their time to do something, obviously there's an additional cost to that. So what you're doing is you're going out to bid, you're looking at the company in general, you're looking at the staff members in general, you're looking at the partners, the roles of the partners in general, and then making the decision whether or not to accept that firm or not.
I think with all due respect, I'll weigh in as against staff as well. I embrace what I heard Judy say. You know, a fresh look at all of our vendors, all of our processes is never a bad thing. But quite frankly, by the time we get this done, you know, June 30th and July 1st will be here before we know it. I respectfully suggest to the commission that we go ahead one more time this year.
Yeah, a little late.
Award it to Pringle with the clear indication that we fully intend to either go out for RFQ or RFP or whatever the legal governances are. We can get some sample processes from others, because it is a healthy thing to look at a variety.
Yeah,
I
agree with that. But I would also agree that, you know, coming up the end of the year is just weeks away. So right now is not a good time to be doing that. Come on up.
This is basically, obviously, by August, was it March the 31st? Someone was a little bit slow in looking at this on the agenda. But, oh, Judy Cohen, sorry. But I think that perhaps, who determines the scope of the audit?
They determine the scope of the audit.
No, but like you said, compliance. Like, for example, in my professional career as a CFO for multinational corporations, I wanted to prove that what I supervised, I wanted this and this and this and this to make sure that that was included. Of course, that costs a little bit more. But waiting until April, whatever today is, the 16th, to determine something that should have been done before, I agree. There's not enough time. But make sure with the scope of the audit you want it covered. Just not let them decide what they want to do, hit and miss, because there's no way they could go through everything. So make a little change now. Do you see what I mean? I said, we've never looked at this compliance, reporting compliance, because I've been audited for everything. Okay, that's my suggestion, since it's too late to do anything.
Yeah.
It's not all about money sometimes.
Yeah. Nicole, come on up.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. My major concern with audits is who audits the auditor. And to the extent that you've got any auditor that is so familiar and so embedded in the client that they are auditing, that always brings up, much like Arthur Anderson, that not suggesting that our auditors do anything untoward. However, to the extent that they have been here for at least 5 years, if not longer, and to the extent that it is now too late to make a change for this upcoming audit, perhaps you may want to consider, as part of this year's audit, having a third party essentially do a QC, a quality control, on some of the items that are in fact getting audited. My concern as a resident and as having worked with businesses in a number of ways is that, you know, the auditor gets blinded, you get snowblind to a lot of the things that you audit year after year after year. And so if we can't make a change this year with the audit, then I suggest we look at a way to audit the auditor to make sure that they aren't getting snowblind.
I think we can work with that. I honestly think we can work with that. We've got a variety of CPA firms that we contract with to do other pieces that Pringle does not do, not necessarily vital to the overall function. One firm in particular, Michael Anderson, has been, you know, very
But not just in the areas where they're not auditing. You may want to pick one or two areas that they have consistently the highest criticality counties.
You said it well with QC.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a QC process.
Both what they've done and perhaps the time I have spent here is would be willing to spend a couple of extra bucks to do that, to make sure that, you know, we're tight.
Well, in fairness, I agree again with what I've heard, that, you know, it's not always all about money. And we have trimmed our audit costs over the years through better internal processes to make our audit faster. I mean, this is essentially a time and materials effort. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, by consolidating as much as we legally could the BCTC, you know, we don't know, they'll have to have their own separate audit. You know, we're able to, you know, speed up those processes greatly for both the BCTC and for the county. So, I would speak to the commission, and I'm sure the comptroller and I can work on a QC basis with a quality firm.
Okay. All righty. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the firm of David Pringle, CPA, as outside auditors for the Story County audited statements for the year ending June 30th, 2013, and with the condition that staff explore having a overview audit for specific items within the audit as appropriate.
That'll work. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay, now we are down to, okay, staff reports. Tammy?
Nothing.
Come on up. You got nothing? Oh. Chief, you're back there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. I just had a couple things today. Just to inform you, as you heard this morning, May 4th will be a kickoff to the Wireline Fire Prevention Week. That's a regional kickoff, and it happens in Mills Park. So May 4th. Angela, hopefully you grab that one, May 4th. We'll have some engines down there handing out literature, talking about 30-foot clearances, You Call, We Haul program, things of that nature. Ambulance subscriptions are starting to come out here, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks, just as an update for you. And I just feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch base on what my good friend Dale said. And it is nice that he likes us. I didn't know that. I didn't think he liked us much. You know, we lose people, and that's partially because of some of the stuff that I think is in newspapers and said in the public. Judy, I sincerely appreciate your comments. I think we do need a fire department. I think we would be silly to think that we could function without a fire department or paramedics. The ISO rating would absolutely be affected. We would go from what we enjoy today as a 3 to probably a 10.
What does ISO stand for?
Insurance Services Organization. They come out every 15 years and they evaluate our properties. I see everybody shaking their heads. The last time that we did this, some of our outlying areas were an ISO rating 10. And I don't know if anybody's willing to say their cost, but it's very difficult to get insurance companies to give you a die-hard number. I did it with my insurer and I dropped $750, going from a 10 to a 3 every single year. That rating is good for 15 years, so you can kind of do the math, $7,500, $11,000 savings over 15 years in insurance costs. Some of the things that are never mentioned are, we don't have a hospital. I think everybody knows that, but I want to say that again. We don't have a hospital. Our paramedics serve as the first line of defense for any health care. I don't see that mentioned much. I appreciate Commissioner Gilman, I think it was, that said that we're 82% medical. So out of every 100 calls, only 18 are fire calls. And to be honest, most of those are false alarms out of the industrial complex. If we just did fire, yeah, maybe we could do a volunteer fire department. But that's not really our whole mission. And that's left out a lot during public comment. So on behalf of my staff, they work very hard to try to provide a good service to people. And one of the reasons we lose people is they get tired of hearing those comments from a handful of people that just seem to want to trash the fire department. It's not good for morale. It's not good for community. We work hard in this community. We live in this community. I have kids in the school system. So those comments aren't appreciated. With that, I think I'll sit down.
Karen, I'd like to follow up on that a little bit. I think there's a lot of unsaid and sung heroes here, and I certainly count you as one of those. Our community, our county, is at the top of the list in the schools and the students we turn out. I can tell you about a recent report that came out of the state of Nevada. Story County is rated number one in health and environment for their residents. I can tell you that Story County has the largest industrial center in the United States today, bar none. You can't have something like that with a volunteer fire department. And that's the majority of our revenue sourcing. And then you have all of this tourism that comes in. And that's a major part of our revenue resourcing. And you are not able as a community to have those kinds of wins, values, profit centers without having the kind of infrastructure and the kind of people and the kind of staffing that Story County has developed. And I think that's so overlooked by a lot of folks. We're a healthy county. We're a growing county. We have a lot to celebrate. And to suggest that we would want to move to where Mineral County is, on the health and community aspects, Mineral County was last in the state of Nevada. Last. So, you know, I think we need to turn around and celebrate a lot of our folks and a lot of our wins and a lot of what this little county has created with very few residents and not a whole lot of staff and wonderful folks like yourselves looking out after us. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, we really are best in this community, and it does, and this is probably going to sound cliche, but it does hurt feelings. I mean, when you try to run a happy, healthy organization that's very productive and they're constantly getting berated with things, it's very hard to manage the morale in the department when those kind of statements are consistent. I talked to you last month about Mineral County. Everybody fails to mention that Mineral County also has a private fire department as well as a municipal department. Their private department is much larger than our department. Let's combine those costs and then really do a true apple-to-apple comparison. Pershing County, they run 5 minutes to hospitals. And then they're flying them from the hospitals to Reno trauma centers or Reno hospitals. Each one of those flights is between $10,000 and $15,000. When we started the paramedic level service, that's exactly what we tried to get away from. So our residents, our taxpayers, aren't paying a $15,000 bill. We've gone from 50-plus care flight calls a year to less than a handful. So I think we've tried very hard, and I just wanted to put that out there. So thank you.
Do you have something, Nicole? Come on up.
I can't.
Besides your hot water.
No. I don't think a fire department in our environment is a luxury. It is a necessity. Any of you who have faced a fire coming down a mountain at you knows that. And God love us, even if we had a volunteer fire department and our boys, girls, you know, in that department would be committed to it, it wouldn't be the same support, I don't think, both physically and reality in terms of response time, as well as, you know, my sense of being cared for and my sense of security in terms of where I live out in the middle of fire danger, and same thing here in the city. And so, Gary, you and your guys are phenomenal, guys, gals. Your entire team is phenomenal. And I think it is a handful of people, perhaps, that may feel that way. And perhaps it is also, in this budget time, a way of saying, let's look at what efficiencies are. And that's a different thing altogether. The need is there. The support is there. I think it's more a question of, you know, let's look at dollars and cents and efficiencies. But you can't put a price on life, which is what I think both police and fire essentially protect for us here in this county.
Well, we put Mike Sewer workers, just volunteer force down there. Jerry's got a gunfight. We'll get some volunteer guys to go down and fight with the bad guys. Sherry, what you got for us?
Good Sherry Nevin for the record. I'd just like to give you a quick update on the income survey that we launched here for Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City at the beginning of the year. We received approximately 174 mail-in responses. We have a magic number to meet the standard of the survey of 211 responses. With that being said, we are short about 34 responses, and representatives from the Nevada Rural Water Association will be in town beginning next Monday, April 22nd, in the evening hours to obtain those 34 responses that we're needing. So if you didn't mail in a survey to the public, you may be getting a knock on your door in the evening. We would ask that you cooperate with these folks and provide them the information that they're requesting. On another note, with the approval of the bid for the pool project today, we hope to begin construction early next week. So we're very excited about that, to have that all completely done by the time the pool opens the first part of June.
Great.
So that's all I have for today.
Thank you. Mike?
I haven't started already.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Gilman, members of the audience, other staff present in the room here. Just a couple of things of interest. My crew, as small as we are, strive to do things that are meaningful to the communities in the county. We've embarked on the Louise Perry Park in Lockwood restroom rehabilitation project of recent. We've been down there the last 2 weeks. As those folks that are in the room here that live down there are aware, that restroom structure down there has been in a state of disrepair and closed basically the last 6 years and plus that I'm aware of. So we've embarked on that project. Look forward to completing it here probably next week. If you get a chance, swing by there, take a look-see. Looks much better than it did, and it's coming right along. The other thing I'd like to make mention of is I did locate the joint written agreement between Story County and the Story County School District for the maintenance and upkeep of that Louise Perry Park in Lockwood. I've sent that out to some key players, and I will be requesting a follow-up meeting between county staff, myself, and those folks on the school district to make certain that we're all on the same page, because we're putting some effort in down there, and I want to see it maintained properly. The other thing we'll be doing down there is installing some lights. We'll be working with NV Energy to put some lights on the poles that are adjacent on the other side of Perry Ranch Road near the park, and also on the restroom building there. We have no power right at that location, so we're looking at some of these solar-powered fixtures that are motion detector, that have motion detectors on them, so when the SO is around, if they notice the lights on, you know, in the evening back there and no vehicles in the park, I suspect there's probably some sort of vandalism going on that maybe can be prevented. So maybe Jerry's in the room, so be aware that we hope to, get that all completed within the next couple of weeks. We wanted to do it now while we had some time before the summer months hit, and we can avoid purchasing the rental of the Sani huts down there. So I'm excited about it, and hope the people out there are as well. And the other thing, we've advertised for lifeguards and a pool manager. As Sherry mentioned, the project should kick off down there with the handicap accessibility and the new restroom next week. So with any luck, it'll move quickly, and we should have that pool back up and operational, ready to open, barring weather. hopefully around the first part of June. We've filled the custodial maintenance position here in the county, and I think the individual is going to work out real well, and I'm appreciative of all the folks, especially those that work here in the courthouse, some of the nice comments that they've made, that the gentleman's on, been on less than 2 weeks. So that's a positive sign. That's all I have.
Thanks, Mike. Dean? You. Turn on the clock.
Thank you. Commissioners, I do want to say that the business license impact study that we were doing has been put on permanently on hold. We've been asked, because of some legal questions, that we cannot increase fees per the development agreement down at Tri, that it would be illegal, and so we're not going to raise the business licenses at this time. We don't have enough time to go through that again, and we're going to send it back to Denny Dotson and ask him to come up with a different plan or a different procedure and bring it back towards us. So I want to let you know that. I will be permitting a grading permit for a 525,000 square foot building at 700 USA Parkway next week. Bids were in today for grading. They are being reviewed at this time. We are completing tenant improvements for Mars Pet Care to go in 725, and they're taking a 255,000 square foot building right now, and they'll have a logistics center also with their pet manufacturing facility. We also are working, I've had contacts and will be meeting with contractors for 625 Waltham Way. We have a new company coming in, Nevada Business Logistics, which is going to take a 220,000 square foot facility. We have completed now and given temporary occupancy to U.S. Ordnance on another 35,000 square foot expansion. They are working, they have an antiquated alarm system that they have contacted us and getting plans, and they're going to upgrade their alarm system before we can give them a full CO. They will have a total of 100,000 square foot facility at their facility of manufacturing. We are in full permit now with GSI on a 200,000 square foot fourth story pick modular, which will increase theirs just under a million square foot. I have temporarily gave a permit for operation yesterday to a new gun company, Sword, that is located at 420 USA Parkway Suite 105. They are an assembly facility. They assembly AR-15 machine guns, and they sell to the military. They are also looking to move their El Dorado manufacturing facility into a 10,000 square foot facility here up in Tri. Had a good meet. We've finished an approved expansion of a building at Golden Gate. Excuse me. Golden Gate is doing an expansion to their processing. We're putting in currently a double-contained slab for their cooling, and they are looking at putting in a $5 million expansion right now to meet the new SOFA requirements for fuel, diesel fuel. And they're looking at the option of buying some equipment out of Germany and shipping that over here right now. We completed a new building at Berwick. Patty passed it off yesterday, so there is a new building that was built at Berwick, the power plant, and that is completed. We completed Tracy Power Plant. They just did a $265,000 and another $265,000, about $500,000 expansion. We're just finishing moving Jacobson into a 120,000 square foot facility on theirs. I'm working with several other companies right now that we're meeting with. Hopefully we'll be able to announce, and they will be fast track. We are meeting with MBEPA on air quality permits and everything and helping them go through that. This is a company, a Europe-based company with a facility in New York City at this, in New York, not New York City. Anything else? Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Sharif?
Bad plan? I don't know.
Just a few things. I'd like to follow up on what Commissioner Gilman was talking about on all the wonderful accomplishments or wonderful things you can find here in Story County. Along with that, we also have a very safe county, which is my intent to keep it that way. So with that, I would like to offer my heartfelt appreciation for the outpouring of support that I've gotten in this trying budgeting time. In helping to keep us safe, email just came out to me this afternoon. In 4 hours following the bombing in Massachusetts yesterday, or in Boston, excuse me, there were 8 different websites that went up. I'm not sure what the purpose of these websites are, but I'd like to take a moment to warn everybody that in times like these, there's all type of scams that come up. If somebody contacts you requesting money and support of any of the bombing victims or any of the tragedy that occurred, be very careful. Like I said, within 4 hours of the bombing, there were already scams popping up. Only 2 more things that I have, just informational. This Saturday, we will be having our annual softball game against the fire department. Time for the trophy to come home, Gary. This is a fundraiser for the girls softball team, so we'd appreciate if you all come out and help support. We'll be doing a pancake breakfast where we'll be taking donations for the softball team. The weekend after that is the Grand Prix, where we'll be hosting our annual pancake breakfast in support of Special Olympics Nevada. We'd appreciate everybody coming out. Turning out Grand Prix is always a great event, and we'd appreciate you coming out and supporting Special Olympics. A lot of kids in our part of the state and even in our county who are direct recipients of the benefit of that. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hugh, did you have any more to add on?
As a reminder, between now and the final budget, there's going to be some resolutions come your way that you're going to have to look through. One is the abolishment of the resolutions for Town of Gold Hill, Town of Virginia City. They're going to go away. And obviously the funding from that is going to the VCTC. All the business licenses and all of that appropriations are going to go there. Also, the resolution adopting the Virginia City Tourism Commission that we adopted last year will also go away. They will be now a separate local government, as they were before. And then there will be a new resolution on infrastructure, for which we will now have a plan to go forward on the infrastructure based on some of our needs that we need primarily is with Mike's group on the water and sewer. If we can get some money for that, but it's appropriated for that. And those items will be probably there, I think, on your next meeting. I did want to address the budgetary process that we have here, and particularly the comments and the remarks that have been coming through regarding the sheriff's budget. This is in no way done. That was a tentative budget only. The sheriff and I will never let anything go through like that. I would never let anything go through that. My grandfather died as a duty officer here in Story County about 6 months after I was born. That's not the issue. The issue is that we have got to get something that's viable so that the public is safe and the public is protected. I will not let that happen, nor will the sheriff. The information, some of the information and some of the numbers that have come out either in Angela's columns for letters to the editor or Mr. Toll's, I believe are inaccurate. The accuracy of all that stuff will come up. There will be no hidden agendas on this, no nothing. It will be out there in black and white for everybody to see. And so I ask you that between now and then, Sheriff Antonora and I understand completely what we need to do, and we'll get down to that, we'll get down to that common goal. So I understand the concern, but it's, we're getting to a very peaceful place with this, so I'll do that for the commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Austin.
Chairman, commissioners, thank you. Just a very couple short items, just as a little bit of an itinerary of the Planning Commission. We're looking at Thursday's meeting of this week. We're going to hear Colony Energy, about $100 million project of cryogenic gas process out at the industrial park. That's pretty exciting. And then Hugh Ray Marshall's processing that he'll do out at the north end of the county, or north end of the town, I should say, with the Sutro mine, which is just applicable to processing. It'll be a small operation. May 16th, I want to provide another reminder that we're going to have a master plan workshop out at Rainbow Bend Clubhouse in Lockwood. It'll be very similar to the workshop we had initially up here in Virginia City, but not exactly the same except for comments brought in by the public. And then also the Truckee River Flood Management Authority in Washoe County will be giving their presentation of potential impacts that their flood project may have on Rainbow Bend, including potential flood walls and or raising houses to meet the NFIP requirements. So just a reminder on that. I also want to let the board know I sit on the Carson Water Subconservancy District, and that board does an annual tour of different counties to try to teach the board members of different watershed-related projects or watershed-related things in each county. So we're preparing for Story County, June or July, to have a tour, something to do with the Sutro Tunnel. That would be integrated both with Dayton and Lyon County and us up here. So I just want to let you know that we're kind of working on that, and then that'll tie into a board meeting that will take place here at the courthouse for the Subconservancy District. And last but not least, we're preliminary right now working on a special use permit for a single-family residence in a forestry zone down at the bottom of Six Mile Canyon. So, you know, a road is there now, a well may be going in very soon, as well as maybe a storage pod, and then we'll go through the Planning Commission with a special use permit for the primary residence. It'd be one house down there. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Take 10. Take a 10-minute recess.